From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of February, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. K-State's Dan O'Brien will be here to look at the agricultural energy markets. In particular, we'll talk about the inputs for the production of ethanol. That would be the price of cash corn and what it means to the relative price and revenue picture for ethanol plants at the moment and going forward. And as we close out our program, we'll discuss the weather forecast. It's going to remain cold. That with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group, where the soft red winter wheat in the July at $6.46.5 settled up 2 cents for the day. The hard red Kansas City at $6.86, up 9.25. Green in the corn pit as well. March futures at $4.55.75, a 4.25 cent gain. May futures $4.61.25, 3.5 higher. In July corn futures up 3 cents at $4.65.25. December at $4.67.75, 2.75 higher. In the March contract, $4.76.75, up 2.25. March soybeans $13.99, up 12.5 cents. The May futures $13.87.25, up 12.25. And July futures at $13.70, 11.75 higher. November beans $11.67.5, up 7.25. Bean meal at $4.69.63, 70 higher. Bean oil at $40.58, down 17. Live cattle futures finished the April contract at $142.40. It was up $1.17.5. The June there at $133.15, up $1.07.5 for the day. March feeder cattle at $171.07, up 87.5 cents. In April at $172.52.5. They finished 90 cents higher. April lean hogs, $100.57.5, up $1.32.5 for 100 pounds. And May futures in the lean hogs at $108 even, finished 95 cents higher. Hey, have you visited our website recently? I hope so. If not, please do it. WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. By the way, if you haven't yet purchased your tickets, still can for our All Day Ag Outlook next week. It's 217-333-7300. More than 300 of those tickets are gone already, so buy now if you can. Let's take a look at the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures, April contract, $102.06, down 76 cents a barrel. The RBOB gasoline at $2.79.08, that's 3 5/10 of a cent lower. And ethanol futures at $2.24, up a dime for the day. The spread between the two is now just 55 8/10 of a cent wide. That's 13.5 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $5.06 of a cent, down 43 9/10 of a cent. And diesel fuel at $3.10.9 is up 2 2/10 of a cent. Gold futures $1,342.80 an ounce, up $4.70 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 25 degrees on a west-northwest wind at 13 to 15 miles an hour tonight. Mostly cloudy, gradually becoming mostly clear, a low of just 1 degree. The wind chills are between 6 and 16 below. Northwest winds at 14 to 18 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 28 miles an hour for the evening. And then tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 17 degrees. Wind chill values between 7 and 17 below. Northwest winds at 9 to 14 miles an hour, becoming southwesterly in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 20 miles an hour. And Wednesday evening, mostly clear, a low of 6 degrees. Again, it will be cold. Wind chill values of 6 below to 4 above. Southwest winds at 13 to 17 miles an hour. Then after midnight, winds could gust as high as 24 miles an hour. Thursday, sunny skies and just 15 degrees for the high. Northwest winds at 10 to 17. And Thursday night, partly cloudy, with a low of 1 degree. Friday, a 30% chance of snowfall, mostly cloudy and 24. Friday night, snow, cloudy and 13. Saturday, mostly cloudy and 23. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the commodity markets and futures with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's kind of cold and brisk, and futures were higher today. What's happening in Chicago?
Well, I think, you know, the big news, of course, was that this morning they reported 568,000 metric tons UF being sold to an unknown destination. Of course, it was rumored it was China. It was rumored it wasn't China. It was rumored it was a cancellation. It was confirmed it wasn't a cancellation. And along with that, we set new contract highs in March beans at $14 and close to $13.99.
So China continues to buy. They have not turned their attention just yet, at least, to South America, though that crop should be, in the next few weeks, beginning to pour out of ports there, maybe. But China's still been in the marketplace.
You know, we're not sure this is or isn't China. There's a lot of talk that it would probably be somebody else. China has been a very aggressive buyer out of South America over the last 2 weeks as we look at things. And then we look for cancellations rather than additional purchases from China. A lot of rumors to what's going on there. One of the other things that happened today was there was a cancellation by Egypt on the wheat. So that killed the wheat market for a while. But at the end of the day, when the corn and beans were higher, we pulled the July wheat back up 2¾ on the day, 13 cents off its low.
The trade is always right because that's what the numbers are, but will they continue to see strength in the coming weeks?
You know, it's going to depend on a lot of things. We've seen a real influx of fund money over the last 3 weeks here on this dollar move up in the beans. And if we continue to see fund buying and whatever, they self-fulfilling profits in that when they get to a certain point that triggers another buy signal. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see if come the end of the week, we're above or below $14 in these March beans.
Do you think we will be above?
Boy, it's a 50-50 shot here right now, Todd. I mean, basically, the air should be getting sort of thin up here. You know, we were surprised to see more sales out of the Gulf today, especially after the Gulf basis broke down yesterday. Actually, it was lower on the day, and not much activity as far as interest is buying at those levels. So we were very surprised when this was announced today.
November beans at $11.67.5. Is that enough for you to consider potential cash sales at all?
It's in the range. We said 11.65 to 11.75 would be our next target. So we're in that range there, depending on how you feel whether we're going to be pulling the old crop's going to be pulling the new crop up a little more. But it's definitely in our range where some sales start to be made.
We're finalizing the crop insurance numbers. I take it you've been following them pretty closely for the month.
Yeah, I mean, basically we're hanging right around 460, I believe, right now as far as the corn goes. And today, of course, won't hurt that at all. And, you know, the beans at 1130. So basically better than we were expecting a month and a half ago, that's for sure. You know, a little better numbers. And that also helps everybody's attitude a little bit when it comes to going in and talk to the banker why it's better to have above break-even than below break-even numbers.
Are you still of a mind, as many are, and I don't know whether you were this case or not, that farmers will plant more bean acres for the coming season than they have in previous years?
You know, we were at Farmer Outlook meeting last night. We saw very few of the farmers there around the Watseka area talking about increasing beans. I think we had four or five people that said they were going to increase substantially as far as beans went. The rest were going to stay with their same rotation. As we talked to a lot of different people, seed dealers and whatever, in fact, we do feel there will be a little influx to the bean acres and a little less corn acres than what we had last year, at least in our area here.
Any other items you've been watching in the marketplace?
Well, you know, this crude oil has been bouncing all over and stuff, Todd. You know, we're back at 101.30, still above the $100 mark, but 101 is cheaper than 103 like we were just the other day.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. and joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always hear him again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between. We post it not long after it airs on our radio station, so visit willag.org. One of the other things I'd like you to do at this point is to go ahead and dial in at 217-333-7300 to purchase your tickets for next week's All Day Ag Outlook. You can do that right now. We've sold more than 300, so that means we don't have but maybe, I don't know, 60 of them left or so, something along those lines. If you want to go, probably ought to buy your tickets very, very soon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
In agricultural news, prospects for a comprehensive agreement on a Trans-Pacific Trade Pact appear increasingly uncertain as the U.S. and Japan struggle over Tokyo's commitment to keep tariffs on hundreds of farm products. Japan's top government spokesman today says that the two sides are still trying to bridge their differences at the 12-nation talks that completed today in Singapore. Negotiators ended the talks on a comprehensive Trans-Pacific Trade Pact without a final agreement, but said another round of talks is planned, possibly in May, in China, on the sidelines of a meeting of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum. Originally, the members of the Trans-Pacific Partnership had sought to reach a deal by the end of 2013. When that failed, they set their sights on this week in Singapore. Japan and the U.S. remain divided over U.S. demands for Japan to abolish its agricultural tariffs and Tokyo's demand that the U.S. abolish tariffs on cars and trucks. Officials familiar with the discussions told the press that Japan appeared ready to lower beef and pork tariffs, which are now 38.5% and 4.3% respectively, and to increase import quantities that qualify for special low tariffs. However, U.S. officials continue to press Japan to also eliminate tariffs in the five areas that Japan considers vital: rice, wheat, beef and pork, sugar, and dairy products. One official told the press that the negotiations had, in effect, returned to the drawing board. Exactly what that means for the ongoing TPP talks among other Pacific Rim countries remains to be seen. The U.S. Department of Agriculture hopes to help honeybees by giving $3 million to farmers and ranchers in the upper Midwest to improve pastures. Commercial honeybees pollinate about $15 billion worth of agricultural products each year, but the bees have been in decline for more than a decade due to habitat loss and pesticide use. The USDA hopes to help the bees by encouraging farmers in those states to plant alfalfa, clover, and other plants that feed both bees and livestock. The White House and the Agriculture Department today are issuing new rules that would limit marketing of unhealthy foods in schools. The rules would phase out the advertising of sugary drinks and junk foods around campuses. School scoreboards, vending machines, cups, posters, and menu boards could all be subject to the new rules. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's Public Radio for the Farming World. Dial this number now, 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. 333-7300 and pick up your tickets. Just $30 for all-day Ag Outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Now just 1 week away, a full day's of events covering the marketplace like no other. You can join us if you'd like. It includes the Beef House meal at the noon hour and continental breakfast, all of the analysis throughout the day. Special guests include Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. Murray Wise of Murray Wise Associates. He'll take a look at land values. And Jonathan Kappas from here on campus. He's our brand new ag policy specialist at the University of Illinois and will take you through the new commodity titles, the programs that producers and landowners will be dealing with over the next 5 years. It's all part of the All-Day Ag Outlook. Get your tickets today for $30. You also get a brand new hat, and it's the 25th anniversary hat, the very first one we've ever produced for our All-Day Ag Outlook, now in its 25th year. Tickets available at 217-333-7300.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Dan O'Brien of K-State in Kansas joins us to take a look at the bioenergy segment. I want to talk a little bit about cash prices, Dan, this afternoon. Probably of all the commodities, but let's talk about corn as an input to begin with for ethanol production and how it relates to margins and revenues and those sorts of things.
Well, of course, the trend towards lower prices that we've seen here of late has been a positive, or lower corn prices, pardon me, it's been a positive for the ethanol profitability side. And looking at the latest weekly national report, Friday, 21st of February, of course, Iowa prices for corn were in the 430 to 470 range. The Eastern Corn Belt, you're in essence, just a few cents, either equal to that or just a few cents behind that. So again, in that total area, price is generally lower. So as an input, that's a positive. Now on the output side for ethanol prices, Iowa ethanol prices in this most recent week, complete week, $1.90 to $2.05 per gallon. Illinois, actually, your prices there, Todd, are at least reported by the USDA Ag Marketing Services being even better, $2.50 to $2.60 per gallon, again, as an official number, and that's up from the previous week by about a dime to a nickel per gallon, and then up from the previous year about 15 to 20 cents. So I think, well, and need to also mention the distillers' grains prices, as that's such a major part now of profitability. Eastern Corn Belt price, 208 to 220 per ton on 10% moisture basis, and that's right in line with exactly equal to where you're at in Iowa. We're a little bit behind that in Kansas, and of course we tend to sell a little bit wetter moisture distillers grains. So I think as you bring those numbers into the profitability side, yes, we've seen the prices from basically the middle part of last year for ethanol, the selling prices move lower, but we've seen the price for the grain inputs move down even more to where here during January, by the time we brought everything together for the month, averaged just about $2.10, $2.15 per gallon as a cost of production. Revenues at just about $2.55 or so, and of course that's a recipe for somewhere between 10 to 15 to 50 cents profit on the ethanol side. So a very positive thing. Looking at some numbers generated out of the shop of our colleagues at Iowa State, their return over total cost, return over variable cost, return over grind margin, all at least at the 50 cent level for the latest set of numbers that we're looking at. So really, I think that as we move off into the future, and if you'd have asked folks where the profitability of that industry was going to be at, given the general pessimism that we had for so many things in agriculture coming out of the middle part of last year, we'd be surprised probably, and positively surprised to see that we were actually showing profitability in the enterprises. And of course, right along with all that discussion were thoughts about how the RFS might be adjusted, et cetera. So to sit here and be making profits right now is really a positive thing for the ethanol industry.
Does this mean when we go forward that your expectation would be for ethanol producers to produce at close to capacity or above?
Well, I think that as long as we're able to maintain moderate corn prices, moderate to lower corn prices, then that would be a positive. In fact, I'm sure back in your neck of the woods, Todd, that people have talked about the USDA's long-term 10-year projections, and the prices for corn in that are, for Kansas producers of corn, frighteningly low, you know, below $4. But to the degree something like that holds up, you know, we avoid major drought, don't know other demand surprises that take corn prices higher, you know, you'd be looking at, if that projection came true, a relatively low cost supply of inputs for the ethanol industry going out for about the next 5 to 10 years. Now, will that happen? No, we'll have some droughts. We'll have some other things that times bring volatility and generally raise prices for corn inputs. But right now, if to the degree we can look out to the future and anticipate where the corn market is going, that relatively low price scenario is a positive, at least for the ethanol industry. Now, our farmers that are wrestling with land cost issues and other sorts of issues will probably argue the other side, and with good reason. But at least as we look out to the future for ethanol, the input side looks to be at least a cautious positive going forward.
What does it mean in a broader context that the revenue for the ethanol plant is higher? I'm looking for an end game, whether that's exports of ethanol overseas, whether I'm just not sure what the higher revenue will mean, other than the ethanol plant is doing really well, and most of them are in rural areas.
Well, that's right. You know, we're kind of separating out the issue as to that they are doing well as to the reasons why, you know, on the revenue side. And, of course, those plants are operating on the margin, and here costs have fallen off on a relative basis more than the revenues had. And, of course, the demand for fuel and the renewable fuel standard, as those things are tied together and tying in all the issues of the blend wall and what the EPA might do with the RFS, all those brought into one basket to consider. Generally, we're seeing demand for ethanol as it's associated with motor fuel and its mixing proportion as holding up at least to the degree that we're seeing profitability right now. It's translating back into high enough prices that we're seeing profitability. And yes, so we have had discussion about ethanol exports, distillers' grain exports and other feed grains, particularly as you look at what's happening overseas with China and how distillers' grains and grain sorghum can find a ready path into the country, but there's some institutional inhibitions against corn going in directly. So, again, distillers' grains, grain sorghum in our neck of the woods, both those are benefiting from that, and those are net positive for the profitability of the industry in the longer run.
Dan, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Have a great day, Todd. Thanks.
Hey, you too. Dan O'Brien is with K-State University, joins us from Kansas right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's St. Walburga Day. The nun was an English missionary to the Frankish Empire. She died on this date in 779 and was canonized on May 1st of 870. She is known as the patron of crops. It's also International Clam Chowder Festival Day and National Chocolate-Covered Peanuts Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1904, Adele Davis was born. She was a nutritionist and author of Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit. The book created a firestorm in the medical community, where doctors found on average one mistake per page. In 1918, on this date, wartime food rationing began in parts of England. The rationing was in response to German U-boats that were sinking imports of food. By the time rationing began, parts of England had just 6 weeks of food on hand. In 1922, Donald MacLean was born. MacLean was a Scottish potato expert who had one of the world's largest private collections of potatoes, with 367 varieties. The potato revolution was credited to MacLean. He spent his life making the public aware of the innate diversity of potatoes, including cooking quality, pest and disease resistance, flavor, and appearance. And in 1934, Elizabeth Gertrude Knight Britton died. An American botanist, she helped establish the New York Botanical Gardens. Britton published more than 350 papers, including more than 170 on mosses. And that's this date in agricultural history.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, now on the phone line to take up the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start here. It's getting cold again, and I expect we can continue to see some cold air for just a bit. Tell me about that first.
Yeah, we certainly will. For a good, solid week and a half coming up, it's going to be colder than normal from the northern plains and Rockies along the Continental Divide through the southern plains, through the Great Lakes, Corn Belt, and in the northeast, as we have an Arctic air mass that just doesn't want to budge. In fact, when it does want to move, it's going to go the direction we don't want it to, which is south. So this is going to lead to the start of March being much colder than normal for most of the nation from the Rockies east.
These things have tended to come along with snowfall, precipitation, ice, all sorts of things. Any problems that we can expect?
Certainly we will. Now, for the immediate upper Midwest and Corn Belt, we may see the worst of the ice and the snow skirting just south of us. Where I really see some problems will be for the eastern Corn Belt, the far southern Corn Belt, some portions of the Ohio Valley. It looks like the storm track is going to be a bit further south than it's been, which means the systems coming out of the west will track further south, and that's going to cause some problems from those areas that is mentioned to the mid-Atlantic, and even some portions of the far south could get a rare early March ice snow event, while areas further north will remain colder than normal, but the snow won't be as extensive.
Strange weather indeed. Take me to South America, where they've had just as many ups and downs as we've had, at least in terms of hot and dry and rainfall and not.
Yeah, well, you know, it's very similar in terms of the up and down pattern, as you mentioned. Right now, the trend is for more wet in Brazil, and that was after a long dry spell. And while Argentina was getting some rain in Brazil, now Argentina is going to be trending drier.
Any place else around the planet that we need to check in on?
If we go over to Australia, they're looking at a fairly innocuous weather pattern there with temperatures not that far from normal and some rain in the central, northern, and eastern growing area.
It's always good to talk with you, Don. Thank you so much.
Stay warm.
You too. That's Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Won't you visit with us tomorrow night in Clinton for our Will Ag Marketing panel there? Pete Manhart, Jackie Vakes, Matt Bennett, and Gary Schnitke will be along at 7 o'clock at the Richland College building. It's out on the south and west side of town, Route 51, headed back towards Decatur. Brand new address there. The road wasn't there to begin with, and it's not listed in most of the Google Maps and such. So you're going to look for the Sunset Hotel Inn and Suites. right next door. There's a brand new Monocles there, too. Not the old one, but a brand new one. So come and join us at 7 o'clock at the Richland College building in Clinton tomorrow evening for one of our WillAg marketing panels. Until then, have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.